Okay, Parshas Ki Tsetse. The Parsha begins on page 1046, but we are actually going to the very, very end of the Parsha. Today we're talking about a couple of psukim at the very, very back end of the Parsha. And that is on page 1064. 1064 and 1065. So you'll notice if you just flip over one page, this is the second to last paragraph in the Parsha. The very last paragraph is Zechiras Amalek, the Parsha that we read, remembering what Amalek did in attacking the Jewish people. And we're going to study the four psukim immediately preceding that, towards the end of the Parsha. This that we're going to be studying, the bottom of page 1064, 1065, are halachas of honest weights and measures. The halachas requirement to have in the days of the Torah, for most of our history, in fact, the way that things would be measured out, you'd have a stone, a 1 pound stone, a 1/2 pound stone, 3/4 pound stone, whatever it may be. When you wanted to buy or sell goods, you would use that stone on your scale, and you would use that to measure out however was it you were buying and selling. And we're going to learn how the Torah requires there to be a level of honesty with those stones. So let's learn those psukim. There are a number of magnificent ideas which come out of these psukim. Beautiful thoughts. Says the Torah, Tzavot Pasuk Yud Gimel, towards the bottom, verse number 13. Lo yiyah lecha bikischa even vo'oven, gedoyla uketana. Do not have in your pouch a weight and a weight. The double language. Don't have two weights, even vo'oven, a large one and a small one. So you're not permitted to have, you know, your good weight and your bad weight, your true weight and your not true weight. You can't have two weights, two stones, a good and a bad one. Pasuk Yud Dalet will just complete this thought. Lo yelecha beveischa eifa ve'eifa, nor can you have in your house a measure and a measure. Gedoyla uketana, a large one and a small one. So here you have two psukim, one describing an actual stone as a weight versus a measure. You cannot have two, one large and one small. That's the prohibition. Now Rashi comments, let's start with Rashi in Pasuk Yud Gimel. It's the third to last line in the second column in Rashi, if you want to follow inside. Gedolu ketana gedola kishemakcheshes es haktana. A large one, which literally Rashi would mean, which belies the small one. Now the way Rashi continues, he says, shelo yehi noitel bigedola umachzir biktana, that you shouldn't take with the large one and return with the small one. So some would learn in Rashi what that simply means is that when you are buying something, that you would give in the larger weight in order that you gain more for the money that you are paying. And if I paid only for 1/2 pound and I gave you a larger weight to measure, you'd end up giving me more things. And that when I'm selling, when I'm returning something, I use the smaller weight so that I actually have to measure out something less for you. So that the simple explanation in Rashi would be when the Torah says not to have two stones or two measures, a large one and a small one, they are both inaccurate. Both a large one means it's larger than the appropriate measure. The small one is smaller than the appropriate measure. And Rashi, according to many who understand like Rashi is explaining, it would mean don't have these two weights. So depending on when it would make more sense for you, whether or not you were on the buying end or the selling end, you would either use the larger weight or the smaller weight, whichever one would serve your purposes better. That would be the simple explanation of that which the Torah is forbidding us to have. I did want to share with you, I saw an explanation in the Sefer Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar is one of the classic commentators. He's printed in the standard text, the editions of the printed Chumash. He has a different understanding of this Rashi, a beautiful explanation. He, through technicalities and the way that the Psukim are describing it, he understands that really only one of these weights is inappropriate. The Gedola, the word that the Torah uses for the larger weight, is actually a reference to a correct, or one or the other. One of the weights is actually correct, and only one of them is a little bit incorrect. Is incorrect. And he writes as follows. If a storekeeper would have inappropriate weights, and every single person who would come in, he would feed them with these inappropriate, meaning he would give out his goods with his inappropriate weight. So when they would come home, it wouldn't take long before a customer or two, when they would, let's say they had bought 3 pounds of flour, and they ended up coming home with only 2.5 pounds of flour. Well, when they're making the recipe at home, and they're dishing things out, they're going to realize, you know, wait a minute, I didn't get enough flour. It's not going to take long before all the customers of such a people, word eventually will spread, and they're going to come to base, and they're going to come to the courts, and they're going to have complaints. He's got the information, he's going to lose all of his business. So a real scrupulous thief wouldn't have only one set of inappropriate weights. He would actually keep a set of appropriate weights and a set of inappropriate weights, and would alternate. Sometimes he would use appropriate weights, sometimes he would use inappropriate weights, so that when a claim would come to him, when people who had been ripped off would start to ask around, or they'd come into the court and they would say, something's going on, we thought we bought this amount, look, we only got this amount back home. So they would go to him and he would say, well, listen, I've been in business for, 10 years, ask around. And they would in fact find that many of the customers had been given the right amounts. Then if they would come to check out his weights, he would pull right out from under his shelf and he'd say, measure, everything is fine. So that he understood from what Rashi is saying is that the two weights belie or falsify each other. They're both half pound or pound weights. One is actually correct, only one of them is incorrect. And it's through the use of the two alternatingly, in which you sometimes use an appropriate weight and sometimes an inappropriate weight, that's what really allows him to get away with it. And that's how he understands what Rashi is commenting here. That one falsifies the other, meaning the one allows you to get away with the thievery using the false weight. Okay, now I want to point out here, we're going to talk more about this in a few moments, but look at the way the Torah describes this prohibition. How do you find this prohibition couched? So if you see the way that the Torah describes it, it doesn't say, do not measure with false weights. What does the Torah say?
Shall not have.
It's correct. So all of the commentators point out, not just the commentators, but even the works in Halacha, the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch, the Gemara as well, they're really basing themselves on the Gemara, describe that one is in violation of this principle, not in the regular sense of as a thief. When you measure out with false weights, and you have stolen someone's goods or money inappropriately because you've tinkered with the scales in a way so that you've given him less or more than what he really deserves, simply having in one's house, simply having in one's pouch is already a violation of this halacha. The Torah is clear in both verses, in Pasuk Yud Gimel and in Pasuk Yud Dalet. It says, Lo yia bekischa, do not have, use the other door. You cannot have in your pouch. And in verse Yudalid, Lo yia beveischa, do not have in your house. Simply possessing such a weight that is not accurate is already in violation of this halacha. Now we will we'll get back to that in a moment. Let's continue. Let's just learn up all of the psukim first. Let's go to Pasuk Tezva 15. However, what should you have? Evan shalema v'tzedek yihi aloch. You should have a stone that is perfect and honest. Shalema means whole, meaning how would you take a stone and make it imperfect? You chip away a little bit at the stone. You know, when you go to your stonemaker's store to buy a half pound weight, so the stone is perfect. If you chip away a little bit from underneath it, so then you'll make it a little bit less than its actual weight. So you need to have a whole or perfect stone. It has to be v'tzedek. It has to be perfect. Eifa shleim of v'tzedek yielach. Simply also as well, the measure needs to be whole and perfect. L'ma'an ya'arichu yomecha al ho'adama. Asher Hashem alakecha nosein lach. In order that your days shall be lengthened on the land that Hashem has given you. Now the Torah here gives a specific blessing to the honest measures. That phrase, l'ma'an ya'arichu yomecha, that your days shall be lengthened, is used for a couple of other mitzvahs. Anyone remember? Honor your mother and father is also given that same blessing, which is compared also with the other one?
The birds,
correct. Excellent. Shiluach hakein, sending away a bird before taking the eggs, and honoring your mother and father, also have that same phrase, l'ma'an ya'arichu yomecha alo adama, in order that your days shall be lengthened in the land that I have given you. And the Torah says that here as well, when it comes to honest weights and measures, we're on page 1064, for those who just looked in. The same thing with the honest weights and measures, you have that same language, that if you will keep these honest weights and measures in your house, Hashem will grant you an extended day. And I saw some of the commentators point out the concept of tzedek, the concept of honesty, is really what the world lives on, so to speak. That which maintains the world is the midah, the trait of emes, which is the trait of Hashem Himself. And so to be granted a long life, as the Torah points these two things out, if you live a life of tzedek, of justness and honesty, that's the blessing that you have. And then to conclude the series of four verses on honest weights and measures, the Torah then comes down harsh. It's not enough that we said not to do it, and that I'll grant you a long life if you do. The Torah then says, "Ki toyavas Hashem Elokecha kol osei eile." It is an abomination of Hashem those who do this. Kol osei avel, those who act corruptly are an abomination, a toeva. They are abominable before Hashem, those who do not have their honest weights. And that would sound, you know, those who do this, who use these dishonest weights and measures, is something which is abominable before Hashem. Okay, those are the psukim. Those are where we'll start with the discussion. These four psukim, to have honest weights, to have honest measures, they can't be too big, they can't be too small, they have to be accurate. Blessing of a arichos yomim, of a lengthening of days, if one maintains true and honest weights, and the statement of perspective that Hashem decides, declares it to be abominable before Him, one who does not use honest weights and measures. Why is it so bad? What is particularly bad about not using honest weights and measures? So again, we'll talk more about this in a minute, but just as a starting point, the Gemara says something which is just of note as we'll begin our discussion now, and that is, when you steal, if you actually use dishonest weights and measures, so generally when a person steals, how do you remedy your shortcoming? So you have to return that which you stole. The Torah says, "V'heishaves ha'gzeila asher gazal," return that which you have stolen, and then you can move on. Sometimes there's an extra punishment, you have to pay a little bit extra, but the way to remedy the problem is to give back that which you've done. Well, what do you do if you've been in business for a year or so, and hundreds if not thousands of people have come by, and each one you've taken a couple of bucks extra, a couple of bucks more from what they deserved, and now you decided you want to remedy your ways and fix yourself up and start an honest and clean business, now what do? So the Gemara says, you're really stuck. There is absolutely no way to possibly give back to each of these people that which you've taken from them. Not only do you not know how much you've taken from them, you don't know who they are, where they are, and therefore you're forever stained with the money that you've stolen. So the Gemara says the best thing that you can do is you can take your best estimate of what you've done and you give it either to public funds or you give it to some way back to the community at large. But there is no way to give it back to the person from whom you stole it from. That's impossible. You'll never know who they are. So, you know, the Gemara has that. The best thing to do is that you at least don't have it. So, you know, the next best thing is at least that I shouldn't keep the money, so I'll give it away to others who will benefit from it. That's only half of the problem. You really need to give it back to the person from whom you wrongfully took it, and that's impossible. So this is abominable before Hashem, this type of thievery done in a way which the person doesn't realize they're being stolen from, and no way in which you could possibly rectify or remedy the situation. Okay, there is a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says as follows. Mozne Mirma, this is in the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, if you want to look it up, the beginning of the 11th chapter of Mishlei. Mozne Mirma Toavas Hashem. Mozne, an ozen, is a weight, or measure. Mirma, that's full of deceit. So a deceitful weight, or a deceitful measure. Toavas Hashem. Which means what? So an abomination, the same word of toeva that the Torah uses, says the pasuk in Mishlei, Moiznei mirma tovas Hashem, ve'even shlema, but a whole, perfect stone, ritzono. That is His desire, that is His ratzon, that's what Hashem wants. So read the pasuk in Mishlei, a deceitful weight is abominable before Hashem, and a whole or perfect stone is His desire. Sound familiar? So Rabbeinu Yonah asks an interesting question. Rabbeinu Yonah, the classic one of the Rishonim, who writes a commentary to Mishlei, he writes, you know, Sefer Mishlei is the book of Proverbs. It's either a helpful explanation, expounding on certain things in the Torah, expounding on ideas or traits. He's right. He asks the question, what did Shlomo HaMelech, when he wrote this pasuk, add It's what the Torah said. Torah itself has these exact same phrases. Kol ha'osa'ela is a to'eva. It's abominable to have untrue, false weights and measures. What I desire is to have an Evan Shlema, the same phrase, a full or complete stone. So he actually asks it as a question in his commentary. What is added in this verse here in Mishlei above and beyond that which we already had in the Torah itself? And what he answers is based on what we already foreshadowed a few moments ago. One would think that the Torah is here giving you a new insight into stealing, a new way of thievery, that if you use these stones to pilfer money, that's abominable. Rabbeinu Yonah comments, the fact that Shlomo HaMelech repeats the pasuk without seeming to really add very much to the idea, just the idea that it's abominable to have them, and Hashem desires true and honest weights, he's adding the idea, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that simply having these weights, never using them, just having them, that in itself is not just a prohibition in the Torah, that's also abominable to Hashem. It's not just that using it's an abomination, and there's a prohibition in the Torah of simply having them. Keeping them in your house is prohibited. Simply owning such a weight already puts you in a position of being abominable before Hashem. I have such a weight, I've never used it, you're an abomination. The Vilna Gaon comments something very similar on that. He says, even if you use such a weight, and then you adjust the measure to be honest. Let's say I'm a storekeeper, and my weights are bad. I've been in business for a while. It costs money to buy new fancy weights. So I happen to know that my 1 pounder is, a little bit off. So I know whenever I measure a pound of flour for somebody, I then throw in a little bit more because I know that my weights are off. Says the Vilna Gaon, you're also abominable before Hashem. To use such a weight, which is not honest and not true, you never intend on stealing. I actually sometimes even throw in a little bit more than I think it's off to make sure that I'm giving the customer the right amount. This idea of having untrue weights, something which says a pound and it's less than a pound, even though I know that it's off, and I fix it before giving my customer my goods, nonetheless, you are still abominable before Hashem for having or for using such weights. So that the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Vilna Gaon both learn that the Torah is not just talking about thievery. It's not just giving us a new insight, oh, there's another way that you can steal. Don't do it this way, don't do it that way. Simply having these weights, using them because you have nothing else, and fixing it before you give the goods, all of that is within the level of something which is abominable before Hashem and absolutely prohibited from the Torah. Why? Answering the question. What is it about these weights? What is it that's so bad? So we have two levels. A, stealing with them, and even simply having them. What is it that makes this such a horrible concept?
Temptation that you made.
Good. Now, on the first most basic level, we would say, A, either a level of temptation, or you could even say less than that, just forgetfulness. And temptation is already even a little bit more deep. On the most simple level, you can say, I don't want you to have them in your house because you're going to forget. Maybe you won't be around and you'll have your wife, your kids, somebody else will be in the store, your clerk, and they're not going to know the exact amount that it's off. That's the most basic level. Simply having them would be a problem because it's going to lead to something else that will be a problem. And therefore, as a fence around thievery, the Torah already prohibits and forbids you from owning such a weight, even though you never intend to use it, or even as you use it, you correct it, because it's going to lead either through temptation or just through negligence, some form of a mistake, and we're so concerned with somebody stealing something inappropriately, that's already out. I think it's a valid explanation, and it certainly would be a great starting point for why the Torah is so clear in its harshness in such a violation. Yeah?
Well, I would think maybe it's because if somebody, and even especially a non-Jew, if they discover you have them, then they would think so poorly of you, which means they would think poorly of Hashem.
Excellent. So it's Alfi Achil Hashem. And it's here you are representing Hashem, another beautiful explanation. And here your weights are not exactly accurate. And even though you say, oh, no, I always fix it. You see, and you throw in a little bit extra flour, that doesn't really fly very well. And you have another fine explanation that there's an element of Chil Hashem just walking around with such weights that aren't exactly honest.
There's
is totally not.
Yeah, there's room for dishonesty.
Yeah, 100%.
We have a society where no one really trusts another person. There's no trust between people.
Right? Excellent.
So that would be the basis for a whole lot of other things that are going to happen. You can't trust anybody.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, before I... Yeah?
Show a relevance to nail?
Well, this is entirely relevant. No, just because we don't use stones.
People don't really... I don't know, maybe if you got jelly or something, they weigh it.
You didn't realize how many times you buy things by weight.
But most everything is, computerized.
But even so, in other words, there are many ways to tamper with that kind of stuff. Yeah. If you'll pay attention when you go, there are many, many times, anytime you go, buy a tub of egg salad or tuna fish, those things are all sold by weight. And even though they are computerized, it's as simple as, a lot of times what they do is they measure, the empty case, and then they measure plus what you put in. There's so many ways that there are of fixing a system that's not an actual...
But justice is not a word. It's a word from Asher. So there are lots of opportunities to have a yardstick that's not exactly a foot, a yard long, or measuring cups that don't really measure the foot. It doesn't have to be a weight. There could be other kinds of things that we measure.
It is primarily said to a storekeeper. That's who's doing it primarily. You have to be selling something to really... You wouldn't necessarily, you wouldn't, unless you had some type of weight in your house, but most of us wouldn't if we're not actually selling any type of goods. But I'm saying, in today's modern world, there's plenty of room for falsifying weights, even in a computerized system.
I think the word trust is the most important.
The word trust is correct.
Because if you can't trust, if somebody finds out that he wasn't honest, about one time he may not be honest,
right.
He's already...
Alright, good. Excellent. Before we go on, I just want to throw in a parenthetical comment that the Vilna Gaon also makes on this. I mentioned that he says already that even if you use your false weight and you fix it, you adjust it, it's still a prohibition and abominable. He throws in a entirely different homiletic explanation of this, and he holds not using, in his language, the idea of an ephah or an evan, a measure or a stone, gedola uktana, a large one and a small one. He writes as a reference to somebody, to a rav, who is stringent on others and lenient on himself, is a reference. He says this verse is a reference to a posek, a rav, who has a gedola and who has an evan. In other words, we think this is in relation to Elaine's question. Right? It's not only referring to a storekeeper with his measures. This is where you have two separate weights, one large and one small. The literal meaning is, of course, referring to a stone that you use to measure out flour or grain that you're buying in the store. So Vilna Gaon also understands that to be a large and small weight in the weights of halacha, in the realms of deciding what is the law. You have a big one and a small one. On others, you are stringent, and on yourself, you are lenient. Or, he writes, and this is a reference to everybody, not just a rav, someone who accepts upon himself the leniencies of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. You need to have a big one and a small one. You need to have, if I'm going to go with Beis Hillel, if I go like this rabbi in today's modern world, this is my rough way, ask my questions too, then both when he's lenient and when he's stringent, I have to follow him. But to say, oh, I'll use this weight for this case, he's lenient. And then the next time I ask him a question, he's stringent, so I switch to a different rabbi and I say, I'll use that weight for this question. So the Vilna Gaon understands this pasuk is also a reference to those types of people who have two sets of measures, two sets of weights in their homes, not just physically measuring out their goods in the store, but when they're using the heavenly scale, so to speak, of deciding halacha, in which they are using two different systems, whether or not it's a rav referring to himself, being stringent on others and lenient on himself, or it's referring to any individual who shops around, so to speak, and always gets the answer that they want. You have to be consistent, use the same weight, whether or not it comes out stringent or lenient, as opposed to always looking for the leniency. But I did want to mention that. I thought that was fascinating how he saw that as a hint in this pasuk of having two sets of weights or two sets of measures as to shopping around in halacha for the answer that you like. It is very difficult. My wife and I, there's an issue with baby wipes. If you're allowed to use baby wipes on Shabbos, because you're squeezing out liquid, and the wipe is made. It's a big discussion in halacha. Many people say you can use them. Many people say you can't use them. Many people say take the top ones that are not as saturated with moisture. Some say leave them out for a couple hours. Different opinions exactly how to figure out if you can or cannot use a baby wipe on Shabbos. So when my wife and I lived in Baltimore, so we asked all of our questions to a certain, one of the poskim, a well-known posek, and he happens to be very lenient. Just we just found that he was more lenient than a lot of the rebbeim in the yeshiva. You know, he learned in the yeshiva, he was one of the rebbeim, but he was lenient on a lot of issues. And on this one issue, he was just totally strict. No options, you can't use them dried out, just not at all, you can't use them on Shabbos. And it was an example in which we have, to this day, it's been 9 years now, baby wipes, in which we have not used them on Shabbos, even though almost everyone I know does. But because we asked this Rav almost everything, he's lenient on everything. And on this one thing, how could you not, what are you going to do? And so there are no baby wipes, but there are many, many poskim who say that it's fine. But this one posek did not, and since we followed him for so many leniencies, I did not know this Vilna Gaon at the time, but I certainly would have referenced it. But that's what he's saying, that's the requirement. If you go like this, Rav, you can't shop around and go with everyone's leniencies. You have to, you pick your Rav, this is who you ask your questions to, and that's how you go. Okay, that's the four psukim regarding honest weights. Let us learn the first pasuk that ensues after this. Pasuk Yitzayin on page 1066, new paragraph, new topic. Zachor Eis Asher Asot L'cho Amalek, the Derech B'Tzeitzchem Yimitzrayim. Remember that which Amalek did to you when you left Mitzrayim. This pasuk, it's actually here at the end of this week's Parsha. This is, of course, what we read, Parsha Zachor, right before Purim, when we read about the fulfill the mitzvah of remembering that which Amalek did to us. Here are the actual three psukim which describe how Amalek attacked us, and we are not going to go through this now because that's not our particular topic. But what is of note is that immediately following the psukim which we just studied, the psukim regarding honest weights and measures, the following paragraph discusses the attack that Amalek laid upon us on our way out from Mitzrayim. This fact is not lost on Rashi. Look at the top of the first column there on page 1066, says Rashi, Zachor Eis Asher Asa L'cho, remember that which Amalek did, Im Shakarta B'Midos U'V'Mishkolos, if you lie with your midos, with your weights, and with your measures, Havi Doeg Migruei Ha'oyev, be afraid of the attack of the enemy. Shene Emar, what's Rashi's proof that these two things are connected, that if you will not keep honest weights, and that if you lie and cheat with your weights and your measures, you must be afraid of the attack of the enemy, says Rashi, Mozne Mirma Toyevos Hashem. This is the pasuk that I quoted to you a moment ago from Mishlei, the pasuk which literally parallels that which we've been studying, that a false or deceitful weight is an abomination before Hashem. Uksiv Basrei, in the very next pasuk in Mishlei, I read you pasuk Aleph, the first pasuk in the 11th parak, which says, a false weight, a deceitful weight, is an abomination before Hashem. What he desires is a true, honest, and perfect weight. The very next pasuk says, Bo Zadon, and if iniquity will come, Vayavo Kolon, humiliation will follow afterwards. If you will be iniquitous, humiliation will come. Rashi says, when you read it straight through, what you see, keep honest weights and measures. Anything less than that is abominable. And the very next verse says, and if you are iniquitous with this, and if you don't do that, if you are have false weights, you will be humiliated, which Rashi says is a reference to being attacked. What's my proof, says Rashi, that I'm reading the psukim in Mishlei correct, that they lead one to another? Keeping honest weights leads to, if you're not honest with that, you'll be humiliated. What's my proof, says Rashi, that that's a reference to being attacked by the enemy? Look here in the Chumash. What's the very next pasuk? What's the next couple psukim after we learn about honest weights in the Chumash? Amalek. So says Rashi, you see, there's a pattern both in Mishlei and in the Chumash. These two things are linked. One who is not honest with their weights and measures will be open to attack from our enemies, as you see both the humiliation that's referred to in Mishlei in the very next verse and referred to by Amalek in the very next verse here in our Parsha. Alright, that leads us obviously then with the question of understanding what exactly is that connection. What happens, so I didn't keep honest weights and measures, I was a little bit off, cheating people because I have a little chip in the bottom of my stone, so it's not exactly as heavy as it should be, I'm giving them a little bit less flour or grain, whatever it is that I'm selling them, and I'm open up to attack similar to the attack that I had at the hands of Amalek. Why are these two things connected? Says the Maharal. Malthus, two explanations. First explanation, he says, is as follows. Duh. You have to know, says the Maharal. Ki ka'asher bora ve'he'emid HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha'olam, when Hashem created and established the worlds, modad v'shokal l'kol echad ve'echad kiyumo b'fnei atzmo. He measured out and handed to each person exactly what they need. Shelo yeh kol echad nogeya v'chaveiro klal, that not one individual will be nogeya, will encroach upon his friend at all, afilu kichut hasa'ara, not even a little hair's worth. Shem set up and gave each person exactly what they need for their task and their mission in life. Not a bit less, not a bit more. Each person is given exactly what they need. He quotes the Gemara in Yuma, Ein adam nogea b'muchan l'chaveru, a person cannot touch that which was designated for his friend. Ve'ein malchus nogas b'chaverta, nor can one kingship touch that which was designated for another kingship, another ruler. Filu kimoi hanima, even the size of a hair's breadth. It's exact in what everybody gets. This idea is really at the yisod of our emuna in honest business. At the end of the day, to know my competitor is not taking my business. I don't believe it. That he's taking my business. Because Hashem designates that which each person needs, exactly what it is, and not one person can touch that which is coming to something else, to somebody else, that which is muhan, which was designated for somebody else, not even a hair's breadth. It's that exact. Everybody gets exactly what it is that they need. You know, Israeli cab drivers understand this. If you've ever been with an Israeli cab driver, I don't want to put all of them, but very often they have this trait. Now, not everyone, I mean, I shouldn't, you know, I've had good experiences, bad experiences, but I remember very clearly a friend of mine, when we were in this, this is already years ago, so he needed a trip to go somewhere far, and he needed the cab driver to wait for him for a half hour, and then he went back. And he gave him 200 shekel, which, I mean, at that time was like a lot of money, not as much anymore. And it was far more than what it really should have cost, even given all of the travel and the wait time. It was far more. But, you know, as an American young man with one's parents' money in Israel, one's a lot more generous, especially if you're nervous about how you're going to get there and how you're going to work it out. So he was just so excited that he found the guy who was going to do it for him and gave him 200 shekel. And the guy, without a yarmulke on his head, not a religious person, said, "No way am I taking this." And he gave him back whatever it was, 50 or 75 shekel from whatever it should have been. And he said to him, "Says you think that I'm going to make a couple of extra dollars? It doesn't work that way here. I'll nick my car. I'll lose my lunch. There is nowhere. It's not coming to me." If it's not magili, if I didn't earn it, it's going to be, you know, flushed down the toilet in some other manner. Everything works here exactly the way that it's supposed to be. It's not worth it for me to have it because I'm going to lose it anyway. This is what I worked. This is what I deserve. You keep the rest. I'm not interested in it. A tremendous impression. It was such a fascinating insight. And that's an impression. That's the way that it works. Like, this is not mine. I don't want it. Because Hashem designates when He creates the world that which is needed. In exactly the same measure, the Gemara puts together, just like a malchus, a kingship is given what they need. They rule for exactly the amount of time that they're supposed to rule, and then the next one takes over the exact amount of territory they're supposed to rule, and so too it is with each individual person, is given exactly what they need. Lefikach, says the Maharal, Ka'asher ha'odam mishaker b'midos uvishiyurim asher nohagim b'vriyos, when a person lies with the measures that he's using in his buying and his selling, Azbo ha'oyev. So then the enemy comes and takes from you. Because if you don't have the midah kenegan midah, the exact measure for measure, if you say, it's not sufficient that which I have, and I want more, I want what's really designated for you, because I've falsified my weights and my systems of measures to encroach a little bit upon your territory and take a little bit more from you than what I really deserve, because you pay me $100 and I'm only giving you $98 worth of goods, taking a little bit extra from me. So says the Maral, if you are not able to handle that system that Hashem set up, in which it's exact and designated each person, so then you better look out for the enemy, because what does an enemy do? He comes and says, it's not enough for me to have my territory and you have your territory. I want your territory too. And therefore, he will come and encroach upon your territory for the fact that you have encroached upon the territory of somebody else in your inability to maintain true and correct measures. That's his explanation number one. Why does the Torah, Mishlei, Rashi all put together this connection of if you lie with your weights, be aware of the enemy? Because of that fact that what you're doing in effect is saying you're not buying into the system that Hashem has created a world and everything has been measured out in exactly the way that it needs to be for everyone there. You've tried to encroach a little bit upon the territory of your friend. Your territory will be encroached upon by your enemies as well. Watch your borders because they're about to be attacked. That is explanation number one, says the Maharal, of why these two things go together. Number two, says the Maharal, Yesh vozeh dover mufla ma'od, a wonderful thing, he says. Mufla ma'od in this. The Gemara says, he quotes, Kasha onshin shel midos, the punishment of false weights, of measures, is worse, may onshin shel arayos. Even worse than the punishment that we have by illicit relationships. If you remember in the beginning of Vayikra, a couple of parshios back, the Torah gives a whole list of all the forbidden relationships that exist. And there the Torah also often uses the phrase of a to'eva, it's also abominable. So the Gemara points out that the way that the Torah says it here is a little bit even worse. The to'eva, the abomination that exists in false weights, is even worse than the abominations which we are more familiar with, is in reference to illicit relationships. Says the Maharal, why? Why is this so bad? This is such a magnificent concept. What is the concept of a weight? This really touches a little bit on what you were saying as far as trust. When you walk into a store and you have a weight, what is the entire purpose of the weight? The purpose of the weight is to measure something out exactly. To tell you, this is a pound, this is a half a pound. When you take something whose entire purpose is to give you an exact measure, and you falsify that, then you have created an abomination of the whole system. In the specifics of a weight. Because when I walk into a store and I take the pounder and put it on the scale and say I want a pound of flour, everything that stands for is, I'm using this specifically to be honest. I'm using this specifically to get exactly the amount that I need. When you take something that is specifically being used to create a measure of honesty, and you falsify that, then he says that's kashya me'od. Then what you've done is you've brought something upon you that is particularly harsh. And in that he writes, l'fikach ha'oyev bo mizgar. That's why the enemy comes and he quotes all sorts of different verses in Psukim that the concept of an enemy is kosher, being attacked by a ruler, a kingship, another person is the davar kosher ma'od, and the reason why that punishment comes is because of the harshness of what you've done wrong. But his idea that he describes of why this is so bad is to take such an idea like that, to take something whose whole etzem, the whole essence of what it is to give you something exact, and take something which is supposed to be exact and falsify that, corrupts everything. And that's really the trust and the honesty that you were saying. If I can't trust you on your weights, there's nothing here. I mean, that's what that's here for. This is here in order to tell me how much it is that I'm buying. And when that's false, so then you have nothing. And so in the morale's language, to undermine that's why that is really... that's why that is so bad. Something which is yotzei min hashavah, something which is supposed to be to equate and to give you a measure. And that also touches on what Dino was saying in terms of chil Hashem. Why is there such an emphasis on chil Hashem? Why is it so horrific in Jewish thought and practice, the concept of a Jew doing something which would shame Hashem, shame, embarrass Hashem? Because of that same idea, what is the whole purpose of the Jewish people in this world? Not just another thing out there. The purpose is Atem Eidai. You are my witnesses. You are my people who are supposed to bring my name out into the world around. That's what you stand for. That's the essence of the Jewish people, what we are here to do, to create, to bring out. When you take that which is designated for a specific purpose, and you corrupt that very thing, and use that which is supposed to be for one purpose, and you use it for its exact opposite, a person who is supposed to be being Mekadeh Shem Shemayim, sanctifying Hashem's name, bringing His name out to the world, standing for truth and honesty and justice, and that one thing that everybody looks to and says, that's what it's there for, and it's doing the exact opposite, it has that same impact. Everything is gone. That's why the New York Times loves to splatter stories all over the papers of so-called Orthodox Jews who are doing things that are inappropriate. Because it has that same, we intuit that it's so abominable. He who stands for something like that, doing something like that is just terrific. Far worse than just anyone off the street doing the same thing, because he doesn't stand in his essence for what he's going against. The guy off the street, no, he's a guy. He did something dishonest. Someone who stands for honesty who did something dishonest, it's intolerable. That's a real abomination. And also, you take a weight... A weight whose whole purpose, whose whole essence is to give you an exact measure, and you corrupt that, that's kasha shiva olam. You better look out for your enemies if you've become a people who have stooped to that, where even the weights themselves have become corrupt. The very thing you look to as a benchmark of this is your starting point, this is what I have, and that's not honest, well then you have nothing left. And you better look out for Amalek, you better look out for your enemies, because you're going to get hit with as hard as that can possibly come because of that. That is the idea, the two ideas that the Maharal shares as far as this connection that Rashi says. And if you are not honest with your weights, look out for your enemies for those two reasons. One, because of the fact, again, that since you've encroached upon the territory of somebody else by trying to falsify your weights, look out for your enemies who are going to encroach upon your territories. And Mida Keneged Mida, in the same way that you can't handle the fact that Hashem has designated specific the specifications for each person, and you've tried to take a little bit more, you're going to have a little bit taken from you. And a second explanation that just says it's just the difficulty, the harshness of what you have done, corrupting the very essence of what's supposed to be truth and honesty and righteousness, and you've corrupted that, you're going to get hit hard with that which of an attack by your enemies. Those are beautiful ideas, but the concept of that which we stand for, the Mosnei Tzedek, the Oznei Tzedek, Eifa Tzedek, stones and weights and measures, all of them being whole, perfect, and correct.
Let me give you a good example. Sam has always been in the printing business with different companies. And then when we bought a business, printing business, we found out that there was much more debt than we thought. But because of Sam's reputation in the previous companies, the suppliers trusted him to extend the credit. And that's what made the difference in our whole business. And so, you see, what you did there effect of what we did later on. That's true. I mean, that's what really kept us going, because of his reputation as a businessman and an honest faith with us.
That is the truth. All right. Wonderful afternoon. I'll just tell you this, it's totally unrelated to what we were talking about. But the Vilna Gaon was reputed to say that everything is hinted at in the Torah. Everything that exists in the world is somehow hinted at the Torah. So someone asked him, New Rebbe, where are you? Hinted at the Torah. Where is there a reference to the Vilna Gaon? Rabbi Eliyahu from Vilna, where are you in the Torah? So without batting an eye, she said, Evan Shlema. He pointed to this week's parasha, the pasuk we just read. Evan Shlema. You have to have the beginning of pasuk Tesvav, verse 15. It says Evan Shlema. So he says Evan. The Aleph he said is Eliyahu Ben Shlomo. You could read the word Shlema as Shlomo. So he says this is the hint. This is the reference to me in the Torah. Evan Shlema is Eliyahu Ben Shlomo. Trust his name. And he is reported to have said, if I have the story straight, that's my recollection, that he was reported to have used this phrase, on a perfect and true weight, as a reference to his name in the Torah. Unrelated to what we were saying. But anyway, yeah, have a fantastic...